You are Locked On the NFL, your daily NFL podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Well, hello, hello, hello. I am Matt Williamson. This is the Locked On NFL Podcast. It feels like we just spoke because we did. I'm recording this the same day. I hope you enjoyed part one of this series. It's something new that I wanted to try. A little note before I get into the next couple interviews that we did at Steeler Nation Radio. And if you haven't checked that part one, it was awesome. You should check it out. Please leave me some response on Twitter at WilliamsonNFL. Did you like this style? Just something different. I'm not saying it's going to happen a lot. And also please go to iTunes and leave me a review. You also have to check out the rest of the Locked On Network. It's flourishing right now. The short distance between recording these two podcasts, again, this should shock no one, and we'll talk about it much more detail, but it looks like Nick Foles to the Jags is basically a done deal. I see what the Jags are thinking. I think it's a mistake. I think they're overestimating where they are as a team. I don't see them. I think they look at it and say, boy, 2017 is who this team is, and if we can have suitable average quarterback play, we'll get right back there. I don't know that I feel the same way. But again, this is a topic we will talk about much going forward. So let's get into three more excellent interviews from my time in Indianapolis.
Welcome back to the NFL Scouting Combine here on Steelers Nation Radio and ESPN 970. I'm Dale Lally here with Matt Williamson. We're pleased to be joined by Greg Cosell. You've seen him on NFL Matchup, all kinds of different shows. If you're an NFL junkie, you know who Greg Cosell is. And Greg, we're glad that you could join us here.
Well, thanks for a good 9 years, and I'm out of here.
Greg, I got to be honest. The last couple of years, we've had some phenomenal guests on, and you've always been our favorite, to be very honest.
I appreciate that.
And there's two things I want to ask you, and we can go in depth as much as you want. But I've been doing my best to explain to Steeler Nation, and I've stolen a lot of it from you, the idea of execution-based offense versus scheme-based offenses.
Correct.
And I really think the Steelers have been on a far spectrum of the execution-based offenses.
I would agree.
And you got Antonio Brown and Lev Bell, and it worked. But I think that needs to change dramatically this year.
It's funny you say that because we always struggled on the NFL Matchup show doing the Steelers passing game because we would watch and watch, and we watch everything.
Yeah, right.
And when all was said and done, it was guys running individual routes and winning or Ben moving around and finding someone. And it wasn't, you know, we kept struggling to find scheme plays.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's a great point. And I do agree with you. I think that they need to start getting into a lot more of
scheming McDonald,
scheming
open,
guys that are open based on multiple route concepts and combinations.
Mm-hmm. Do you think? I mean, Ben's been doing this a long time, but early in his career, he was more of a sandlot guy. But you're seeing the Rivers and Breezes and Brady's execute that so well. Do you think he and this staff is capable? I'm not saying they're going to be Sean Payton or, you know, the Patriots, but at this stage of their career and their
right.
respective coaching situation, you would think that is required without Antonio Brown.
It's a hard question.
Yeah.
Ben's played a certain way his whole career. I think there's many times where we've seen him play with anticipation and, you know, the guy's a great quarterback. He's arguably a Hall of Famer.
Mm-hmm.
So, but he certainly is a guy that, you know, just based on his DNA, waits in the pocket sometimes, is waiting for something, you know. That's a hard question. I mean, I think you have to start that in OTAs and make that the way you play.
Yes.
And build through that.
I really hope that's the way that they view the offense now, is we need to scheme open McDonald or receiving back or Juju out of the slot like a Michael Thomas.
Right.
As opposed to AB, go beat that guy.
Exactly.
Yeah, and that needs to start now. You know, like you said.
It's also hard, and Ben was great at it, and certainly AB had a great feel for working with Ben, but it's also hard to sort of count on, you know, those second reaction plays. Now, Ben was a master at it, and yes, he's made a ton of him in his career,
sure.
But Matt, you know, you can't really, you don't go
it's
into
like the Russell Wilson fact.
Yeah, you don't You're go right. into a game saying, hey, Ben, make five of these improvisational
plays. We need 10 of these from you. Just run around, and if five of them really work out, it's great.
Exactly.
Yeah, knock off Terrell Suggs.
And obviously we're joking, but, I mean,
it's not a foundation.
It's not a foundation.
Yeah.
Yeah. In terms of because Antonio Brown is kind of a freelancer at times. Does he have the trade value that you would expect? I don't know. I would pick a receiver that is more of a technician. He's a technician, but he will break things off if he thinks he sees something. And that's something that, having worked with Roethlisberger for so long, they have that chemistry together that it might take some time to game with a different quarterback.
And would he fit every scheme? I mean, I think he's a good enough player, too. But
yes, I think, again, I remember when Brown first sort of hit the scene, and I remember watching him and saying, wow, this guy is just a dynamic route runner. I mean, his quickness in and out of breaks is phenomenal. This was before he became Antonio Brown, you know. And so he's capable of the question now becomes, you know, his mental state. I mean, you know, what does he think he is? But if you go back to early in his career, and you know this, you guys know this, I mean, he was a dynamic route runner. Yeah. I mean, he could separate.
Yeah.
It was ridiculous. You know, so he's certainly capable of that. You know, it's an interesting question you pose, though. We sort of talk all the time about the value or decreased value of running backs. What's the value of a wide receiver? You know, because
contract-wise, you would think a lot because teams are paying big money for receivers.
But, you know, but one of the things, every year in the NFL draft, the two positions that tend to be drafted with the most players are corner and wide receiver. So, you know, are people going to think that Antonio Brown, you know, in terms of value to the Steelers, has great value, or do they view him as, hey, yeah, he's a really great receiver, but we're certainly not going to give up the, you know, the farm for him. You know, it's an interesting question about the, you know, from a macro perspective about the larger value of wide receivers.
Yeah, I think it'll tell us a lot.
Yeah.
I mean, it'll be really interesting and how many teams are actually involved and what they're willing to give up.
Now, obviously, there's extenuating circumstances because I'm sure the feeling is that he's a bad guy and all that. And I don't know.
You want him in your locker room.
And I don't know Antonio Brown. So I'm just saying what's out there, you know, but that seems to be what's out there.
On the other side of the ball, I haven't brought this up on the air yet, because I haven't come up with a way to do it, and I need your help to make me sound smarter for the next couple of months.
Oh, boy.
I think the strength of this defense is Hayward, Tuitt, and Hargrave. And I think Hargrave has a chance to be a star. But I want to see how can they keep those three on the field in nickel, you know, with three corners on the field. And can that help somehow with the Shazier loss? The middle of the field's a problem. Do you have ideas? Could Hayward be a big Namakong Su line outside the tackle?
See, I think their larger issue, Matt, you know, talking about the defense, is when they go to their sub package, whether it's nickel or dime, I don't think they have any speed at linebacker.
And it shows
Michael
up,
Barty says it all the time. If you're slow at Mike, then you're slow.
Yeah.
And they are.
You know, I mean, look, at the end of the day, in their nickel, they were playing Vince Williams and Bostic. In their dime, it was Williams, and then they played Fort for quite a while, who's a more athletic guy, but obviously they didn't view him as the answer.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I think that at linebacker, particularly in their nickel, you know, they lack athleticism. I mean, Bostic is a straight line guy. He's stiff. You know, he's not really a pass defender, to me. I don't know what you guys think.
I agree. Yeah.
You know, and nice. Williams, while he's actually a pretty good blitzer, you know, who knows? Maybe you make him more of one of your rushers, you know, but he's not
in terms
really
of coverage. He's not giving you.
He's not going to give you that. Like, who's going to run with tight ends in this group?
Right. See, that's kind of where I was going with it. Is I'd love to see against 11 personnel or against three receiver sets. I want those three 300 pounders out there. I want Watt, maybe Dupree, and a bunch of safeties. You know,
right.
Get Williams and Bostic off the field, and maybe Edmonds is in that role, or you sign Deion Buchanan, or you know, you draft somebody that's 210 pounds that can run, and you flood the middle of the field with big safeties.
I mean, Edmonds probably would be a really nice, you know, sort of dime safety for them, playing in the box, at times matching up to tight ends. You know, I'm not saying he shouldn't play in the base. I mean, he obviously did last year as a full-time starter.
They kind of signed Burnett for that, and it didn't
Then you get into, if you're going to play dime, he could be that great sort of hybrid linebacker safety guy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think that's the idea. I think, you know, they went into last year's draft wanting to get an inside linebacker and got shut out on that this year. At 20 this year, they may be in a better spot to get a, you know, White or a Bush.
Well, it's just hard to play now on defense without team speed.
Right.
I mean, every guy doesn't have to be a burner. But, I mean, if if your linebackers are not, when I say fast, they don't have to be 4 or 5 guys, but, you know,
rangy,
if they're not athletic and rangy, that's a good word, then it's tough because the good teams can attack you in that area.
Yeah, they'll find them. Yeah. You know, you'll see James White matched up on those guys.
Yeah.
You know, right. Or you watch the Chargers game, Keenan Allen is the third guy in on the 3-receiver set against a linebacker over and over.
Exactly.
And they scheme it out of
you. They scheme it out of you.
Which goes back to my offensive point.
Right.
You know, attack those weaknesses.
Exactly.
And I don't think the Steelers' offense attacks weaknesses.
Right.
And the defense has weaknesses.
Right.
It gets attacked.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
That's a good point.
Quick question for you outside the team, but in the division. I think I know your answer after listening to you for so many years. Is the Lamar Jackson offense sustainable? Does he have to take big steps forward to be successful?
Yes.
I mean, immediately.
I don't know if it's sustainable. Again, maybe I'd be viewed as old school and traditional and conventional. There's no question that all these multiple backfield actions and quarterbacks being able to run is now a part of the NFL, depending on who your quarterback is. And I have no problem with that as part of an offense.
Mm-hmm.
But he's going to have to throw the ball much better. Yeah, to play in the league. And and again, when he came out of Louisville, he wasn't a great thrower, but I didn't think
he was
a terrible thrower.
Yeah,
right. So, you know, and he made a couple of throws here and there, but he's going to have to throw the ball much better. I don't think that particular brand of offense where he was running for all those yards and can work as a foundational staple.
And Gus Edwards isn't going to get 100 yards week after week,
you know,
based off a scheme.
Teams are going to now.
Right. And the Chargers showed us that.
Yeah, as we saw when the Chargers played them again
the
second time, they figured it out.
Yeah, teams are going to watch that, particularly in the division, all off season, and they're going to scheme it up. They're going to scheme it up.
Yeah. A team that isn't getting talked about in the division much is the Bengals. If Zach Robinson brings a Rams mentality to
them. You mean Zach Taylor.
Zach Taylor, I'm sorry, right. Zach Robinson just got hired by the
Rams.
Right. By the Rams. Yeah, right. All confused there. Can they make Dalton Goff-like? Because he seems better pre-snap. As the snap goes on, he gets worse. If they can be in his headset, make him Goff-like.
Well, I was going to say, theoretically, that's what Dalton would need to be a good player.
I can see that match working on paper here in February.
No, I can see that too.
You know, and feature A.J. Green.
Right.
Yeah,
and they still have Tyler Boyd, who's a nice player.
And Mixon can be girly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The guy who they have who – And I don't know him personally, so I don't know. But he's a super talented guy. Is that Jeff Malone?
Yeah, he is.
You know, and he came out of Tennessee. He was a big 5-star recruit going to Tennessee, one of the best wide receiver prospects in the country. He's big. He can run. Some of his plays in college, he freaking looked like A.J. Green.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, but I don't know his ability to learn. I don't know any of
those
other
things.
What's
holding him back? Yeah.
But, I mean, he's got some talent now.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're joined by Greg Cosell of you do a little bit of everything with the NFL.
Well, NFL films.
Yeah.
Just finished my 39th season.
Is that all?
Oh, that is.
But it's great stuff, and I know people love to watch these kind of shows. How do you guys decide when you're looking at games? We're going to focus in on this week or that. I mean, do you try to kind of follow the trends, or do you guys make the trends of what you?
Well, I think we let the film make the trends for us. The film tells you. Now, we've done this for a lot of years that we know what coaches do, particularly ones who've been in the league a long time. You know, you kind of know what they do.
Sure.
Right.
Coordinator tendencies.
Right, exactly. But it's a combination of scheme and tactics that are part of what a team does. We don't pick isolated plays that are outside of what teams do. And then it comes down to the visual as well. I mean, the picture – because ultimately it's a visual medium, the picture has to be clean. Because we can sit here and talk football and tactics all day long, but if we can't show a clean picture to the audience where the graphics really present it to them, then we can't use that play. Even if we think the play is great, it has to be clean in its visual presentation.
Greg, last thing I wanted to ask you about is the Steelers' offensive line.
I
very much believe it's maybe the best in the league, if not
it's
in the conversation. And I don't know that the average fan's going to notice the loss of Coach Munchak, you know, Sunday to Sunday.
Right.
But his ability to turn Finney, Filer, Villanueva, Foster.
Let me tell you something.
Hubbard.
It's funny you mention this.
It's unbelievable.
Filer was unbelievable.
He was really good, right.
I mean, where'd he come from?
Right.
Bloomsburg. Right. No, I mean, I said that. I did look him up at the time, so I knew, but I mean, I was just, you know. But
Munchak does it every year. He
but Filer played, he started a lot of games.
Yeah.
And yeah, he's quite good.
And did well.
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
And it's just, those are the things that it's almost like, and we've talked about this many times, it's like getting bonus draft picks every year because, you know, they would sign these guys as undrafted free agents. And, you know, after 2 years
starters.
Working with Munchak, they're starting there in the starting lineup and performing well. And, you know, a guy like Chris Hubbard goes and gets paid by the Browns.
Right.
$26 million. And honestly didn't have as good a year as he had
who,
with the Steelers.
Who replaced Mike?
John Surrett.
His assistant. They bumped him up. But, I mean, there has to be a drop-off. I don't know if there will be this year, but I can't believe that any other team is going to develop undrafted free agents in the starters.
Right, right.
I mean, that's like a pot of gold.
No, you're right. Yeah. I mean, I remember when I put on the Steelers tape and saw that who's this right tackle the first time he played, Filer. And then I, you know, each week when I was watching, I was like, this guy's doing okay.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah, he's a big mauler.
Yeah.
He's a big kid. I think the idea this year is to maybe have him kick inside the guard and perhaps replace Ramon Foster. Again, you're replacing a starter with an undrafted guy on a full-time basis. It's something that they're really going to have to be concerned about moving forward.
I lied. I have one other quick question. AB's not going to be around. Juju's going to be the feature receiver. He's better than I thought, and he's, you know, without Bell, I thought he got more attention, but it was still Brown that everyone wanted to take away. Can he be the man?
Juju?
Yeah.
Well, that's a relative term.
I think a lot of it goes back to scheming him up and making him Michael Thomas. Right?
I mean,
Yeah.
I mean, look, Michael Thomas has now had 3 great years in the NFL with a lot of numbers. He's part of a great schemed offense. He's a certain kind of player. He's really good at being that kind of player.
Sure.
I actually think Juju's more explosive than Michael Thomas. Now, now it comes down to how they scheme it up. I mean, to me, that's really where
that's we're going.
Yeah, that's where you're going with this.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Go back to the first question, right?
Yeah.
Well, we're going to take a break. Greg Cosell, we appreciate you coming on with us. I know you got plenty of other visits to make here at the NFL Scouting Combine.
I need a nap.
All of us do.
Welcome back to ESPN 970's ongoing coverage live from the NFL Scouting Combine. Of course, we're also here on Steelers Nation Radio. I'm pleased to be joined now by Ryan Wilson, the head draft guy on CBSSports.com. Ryan, glad to see you here. I've known Ryan for a long time and been a fan of his work. And, of course, if you want to see that work, go to CBSSports.com. He's got a fresh new mock up here that you did. When did it come out? Monday?
Monday, you got it.
Monday, and he's got an interesting pick here for the Steelers, one I think a lot of people will like. And we'll get to that here in a second. But, Ryan, you do a lot of these mock drafts, and I'm sure you get a lot. I know every time I do a mock, I hear it from Steeler fans. That, oh, I hate that pick. You've got to hear it from the fans of 32 different teams.
Yeah, and it's funny. I've been doing the mock since the start of the NFL college football season, so since September, and we've known that the Raiders are going to have 2 first-round picks. So they got the 3rd first-round pick when they traded Amari Cooper. And early on, it didn't look like John Gruden and Derek Carr were getting along, and if I had a mock draft where they might target a quarterback, Raiders fans were not happy about that. And talking about the Steelers even more recently, it's been funny because we know about the Antonio Brown situation where he's going to probably end up in that being not in Pittsburgh. I've had them taking wide receivers, and Steelers fans are actually okay with that. I think – I don't know how you guys feel from the inside, but from the outside looking in, I feel like a large subset of Steelers fans are okay washing their hands of Antonio if that means getting, like, a big play wide receiver.
Yeah, I think the franchise might disagree because they've had so much success taking guys later. I think the two main goals for them in going into this draft, get an inside linebacker, get secondary help. And then worry about the wide receiver position because they've seen what that looks like. They didn't address it completely last year, and they saw what that looked like in 2018.
I'm with you 100%. And I don't know how you guys felt, but I was hoping that I'm a Steelers fan, and that actually don't make any joke. I don't care about that. I go on Baltimore radio once a week, and they crucify me about that, especially last year the way things ended. But I was hoping that Rashawn Evans might last to them last year. That didn't happen, obviously, with Tennessee. Leighton Vander Esch was another guy that we know that they liked and that I liked from what I saw. He had a really good season in Dallas. I thought that who'd they sign? John
Bostic.
I thought John Bostic had a good season. I thought it could have been better, but in terms of the expectations, it was okay. But obviously, cornerback's a huge need. Artie Burns, we know how incredibly difficult that season was to watch from the outside. I'm sure it was a lot of fun to watch if you're a coach going in week after week. It sounds like, I think Kevin Colbert said yesterday that Artie had lost his confidence. He's got to find that again. I don't know if he can find it. And I think you're right, Dale. I think you have to get a cornerback early in this draft. It's not particularly deep with cornerbacks. So, again, like last year and even this year, the linebacker class, you got to get one early if you want one, some guy that can come in and play immediately.
Yeah, I want to get back to that for sure and get back to the Steelers, but I just want to run one thing by you. I put it on Twitter a couple hours ago. Been doing this a long time, and after seeing Kyler Murray's weigh-ins, you can have the field. I bet he's the first pick overall.
I love it. I love it. It's funny because you talk to some people, and they're like, 5'10 doesn't matter, and they're saying that he's still a short quarterback. You can't play as a short quarterback. I just feel the game has changed so much, and you would know certainly more about this than me, Matt, but you can play as a 5'10 quarterback.
Sure.
Last year, Baker Mayfield was 6 feet tall in the exact same offense that Lincoln Riley ran. We saw the year he had. Mm-hmm. Kyler's hands are bigger.
Right.
Slightly
he's
bigger.
He's coming at the right time.
He's coming at the exact right time. That's exactly right. So I think top five feels like to me really good. I love the idea of him going number one. I don't think the Cardinals would take him number one, but if they're able to get out of that pick.
I think they'll want to get out of that
pick.
They have
so much
need. Like to get more
exactly.
Picks.
Right.
That's right.
And then the Niners get Bosa. Yeah, I mean, like
it's a win-win for a lot of teams.
Right. I think that's how it's going to go when it's all said and done.
Yeah, no, I'm with you.
That takes us to your draft. And one thing that you do in your draft is you do have mock trades. A lot of people – and I don't. I don't try to project who's going to do what.
It's complicated.
Here's the picks. Yep. Here's it. Because then that's where I make mistakes. But you have Kyler Murray as your first quarterback off the – and this was Monday – off the board at number three to Jacksonville. Jacksonville trading up with the Jets to acquire that pick. And that would be an interesting move, obviously. Jacksonville is in the market for a quarterback. There's no doubt about that. And then Dwayne Haskins going fifth to the Broncos in another deal. And
do you prefer Murray to Haskins?
I like Dwayne Haskins a little more.
Do you?
I don't think Jacksonville or New York is a Kyler Murray type of team. Mm. They're so conservative, I feel like.
Jacksonville, though. Right.
That's right. Yeah. So I think Dwayne Haskins makes more sense for both. But I'm just hoping one of those teams falls in love with him. And I had them trading up, the Broncos trading up. Just I'm praying that maybe John Elway can figure out how to draft a quarterback that can play there. But if that happens, those two guys go early, and number six is the Giants sitting there. They've gone two straight years without taking a quarterback. I don't know how that's going to sit with the fans. Saquon Barkley, and I had Jonah Williams going there, which I think can help certainly Eli Manning, but Eli Manning is a very, very short-term solution.
Yeah, I mean, and Matt and I were just talking as we were watching the offensive lineman lift here. Ideally for the Steelers, Steeler fans should like it if the offensive linemen really test well here this week. And four or five of those guys end up going in that top 20 because that's going to push some of those guys, the Greedy Williams, who that was your pick for the Steelers, down the board a little bit. Maybe some of those cornerbacks in the inside linebackers don't go. There's not a run on them early, which has been what has happened to the Steelers time and again when they've had that need. At those positions.
Absolutely. And go back to the 2016 draft when right before the Steelers had to take Artie Burns, the Bengals took William Jackson. And he had a fantastic season year before last. He was up and down last year, but certainly better than Burns. Number 11, the Bengals are on the clock. They might be in the Devin White business, the inside linebacker at LSU. But as you say, Dale, if these offensive linemen start to show over the next 6-7 weeks, the Bengals need offensive line help as well. So that could push someone like Devin White down, but also the cornerbacks that we're talking about here as well. Greedy Williams isn't my number one cornerback, but he is so athletic that I feel like the Steelers couldn't pass on him there. I like Byron Murphy a little better.
Yeah, I'm a bigger Murphy fan myself.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. We have to see how much he weighs. Like 185 is the word on the street before Indianapolis, so we'll see about that. But if you're a playmaker, in my mind, you're a playmaker.
And he fits the mold of a Steelers draft pick. He's a redshirt sophomore, I believe. Mm-hmm. So he's 20, 21 right. years old. So you're getting him at a good young age. He'll still grow into being what he's not yet a complete player or what he will be in 2 or 3 years. But I think he's a great player.
And Greedy, I've talked to people, and if you watch it, Matt, you've probably seen this as well. He ain't tackling anybody, so that doesn't work in Pittsburgh the way they play defense. He's insanely off the charts physically, but if you're not focused in play out, that I'm with you, I like Byron Murphy a little better.
I don't know right now if I'm the Steelers that I want to draft a guy whose nickname is Greedy.
That doesn't tackle anybody?
Or Hollywood.
Right.
Or anything
like that.
Right. Give me a Steve.
Yeah, Murphy.
Yeah.
Baker. Right. What do you think of Baker out of Georgia, though? I think he's also maybe in the mix at 20.
Love him.
Yeah.
Again, another guy who's going to be about 180, 185. Mm-hmm.
But they're fine on the outside, though. They're not just slot guys, right?
That's
Murphy
right.
And Baker. Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. And you watch – look, he played against some of the best receivers in the country week in and week out. And there's very little bad tape of him and what he was able to do week in and week out. Athletically, he is not Greedy Williams. Athletically, he's probably not even Byron Murphy. But his teammates love him. I was talking to someone close to that program, and they said they thought he was the best player in 2017 with Roquan Smith on that team. That's how important he was to that team. And I feel like I don't know if he's going to be a first-round pick just because of his size. That's not his fault.
Right. I mean, before you knew anything about him, people were like, boy, he's a really good football player, but he's not real athletic and he's not big. You know, like,
yeah,
that's a big deal.
That's right.
But everything you hear about him is he's phenomenal at playing the game. And he seems like a double to me. You know, like, he's not going to hurt you. And he maybe moves a slot. Maybe, you know, he'll help you somehow.
Yeah. The other thing, of course, the Steelers will be focusing on is the inside linebacker position. We mentioned Devin White. I think he's probably – he's going to run well here. He's going to test well. I think he's probably doesn't get out of the top 15 picks.
Yep. No, I'm with you on that. The Bengals could be another team that, again, sort of – screws over the Steelers with the pick they get there. Devin Bush out of Michigan is another guy. He's probably about 5'11". We'll find out. Not quite as fast as Devin White, probably. Sideline to sideline guy. He can play in coverage, and he's a guy that you put in there immediately, and he can play. I want to see what Mack Wilson comes in at. You watch him play, and sometimes he's there, and sometimes he gets overpowered because I don't know how big he is. And he's not as athletic as Devin White, but then again, no one is. And the Senior Bowl, I saw this kid, Terrell Hanks of New Mexico State.
Yeah, we were just talking about him. Yeah.
He's an interesting guy.
He looks the part.
He looks the part, a former safety, insanely athletic. He's still learning the position. He takes some missteps, and you see that. But that's something you can coach out of him after a few years. If he's there third round maybe, but fourth round definitely, I think you run to the podium and take that guy.
You mentioned Bush, and we've talked about him a lot, and Dale and I both really like him. And if you get an extra pick with Antonio, who knows, I'd love to see him in Pittsburgh. But what I don't know right now, and that's just I haven't done enough homework, but can you take him at 20? Is he worth the 20th pick?
I'm with you on that, and that's a question.
Yeah, okay.
Because Devin White you love, and this is the same conversation we had last year about Rashawn Evans and Roquan Smith was never even in the conversation.
Van Der Esch was in the mix.
Van Der Esch, you were hoping he would fall, and that's how it worked out. So, yes.
Yeah, you move up for White, you move down for Bush.
Yeah, that's exactly it. And, you know, they don't move up a lot.
Right. Polamalu was the
last one. 2003, that's right.
It's Antonio Holmes, too, I believe.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. So they did move
maybe they have an extra pick, you know, right?
And that's right. So, yeah. And, again, it's just so little depth there. I don't think free agency is worse this year than last year, I feel like.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Avery Williamson was a guy I liked a lot. They weren't going to pay him what he got in New York. He had a pretty good season. So you have to have a plan B. Right now we don't know what it is, and they'll find out. Kevin Colbert talked about this. We'll know a lot more in a few days.
It seems a little more likely that it's corner at 20. I mean, we have a lot of time in between, but since there's three options.
Is there any chance of safety?
I can't see taking another safety.
Right.
unless it's a situation like last year and the number one guy, you know, Derwin James slides to 17.
Yeah.
And as we were doing the broadcast as that was happening, I'm like, man, if I was a team at like 20, I'd be trying to get up right now and get this guy. We're 21, 22.
Out.
Yeah.
Steelers fans throughout the season were unhappy that Derwin James was doing the things he was doing in Los Angeles.
Yeah. Oh, he was a stud, and he fell to 17.
Yeah.
I thought he was one of the top five defensive players heading into the draft, and he turned out to be that.
Yep.
What about one of these do-it-all type safeties, though, an Adderley or the kid from Florida or, you know.
Yeah.
You know.
So here's the thing about those guys.
Right.
They're undersized by conventional standards.
For a safety.
For a safety.
Right.
But they can do the things you need them to do in today's NFL. They can play in the slot. Adderley's a former cornerback. He had a good Senior Bowl, too. FCS guy out of Delaware. And Gardner Johnson's his name, right?
Yeah.
He didn't tackle anyone last year in 2017. But he had
Pile Inspector.
He had a really
that's what we used to call him.
That's fantastic. I liked him a lot this year. He had a strong bounce-back year. Taylor Rapp's a different guy out of Washington. He plays closer to the line of scrimmage. But that dude can play some football. But again, they have that guy.
He's not bashful.
That's right. But they have him in Edmonds, the guy they got last year. So you don't want him again. But I think Deontay Thompson's a guy I have questions about.
He's really a true free, isn't he?
That's right. He's a tall, lanky guy. He had a really good start to the season. People had some issues with the way he finished the season. He didn't look like he was running particularly well in some of those games. But again, I think he's testing here. I'm not sure. Maybe he's not running, but he's here.
I think he had a wrist.
Surgery. So he's not doing that. But he feels like a first round guy to me.
Yeah.
How about the receivers? I mean, as a preliminary homework on him, DK Metcalf is going to be beautiful and certainly could make a lot of money this week. My hunch is he's the first one off the board. If you're going to avoid Brown, where else are you going there? I mean,
yeah, DK is my number one guy. He only played half the season because of the neck injury. So if that checks out, I'm sure NFL teams will be all over him. I think he's going to run really, really well. Kelvin Harmon is my number two at NC State.
Really? Like him.
And he is a sort of –
he'd be a good fit here.
If DK is 1A, Kelvin's not that far behind. We'll see how fast he runs. I saw him play in person against Syracuse, and he had over 200 yards, and he was torched. I mean, Syracuse defense isn't great. He was winning deep. He was beating guys deep. He can run the intermediate routes. He's a great contest catcher. A combat catch is what Tomlin likes to call it.
Long strider. Eats up a lot of grass, yeah.
Great use of his hands. He gets off the line of scrimmage, all those things. Marquise Hollywood-Brown you talked about. He maybe not be the thing for everyone, especially in Pittsburgh.
If he's AB's cousin. Right?
Yeah, he can't have the family reunion.
And he's 168 pounds,
That's right. He came in really light.
But he's similar to Tyreek Hill, though, in wild speed.
When I watched him the first time, I said Tyreek Hill and Manny Sanders, sort of the mix between that, and he can do a lot of things. I like Debo Samuel out of South Carolina.
Yeah, I like him, too.
Really impressive in the Senior Bowl.
Great Senior Bowl. He can return kicks, line up anywhere in the offense, four-down guy. And
he's built like a – he's James Washington build, but taller.
Kind of reminds me like a Percy Harvin almost.
Yeah.
He's thick. That's right. He's a thick guy. And he has a lot of confidence. I was talking to him at the Senior Bowl because going into there, the speed was his issue. And after the first practice, he said, "You saw what I did today, right?" I said, "Yeah, I wasn't questioning you, but you look great."
And Debo always goes well in Pittsburgh.
There we go. That's right.
Think he could last to – Steelers second round pick?
Yeah.
Possibly, yeah.
I don't think he's going to sneak into the first round. It might only be two guys because we know that Hollywood Brown has the Lisfranc injury. So how long is that going to hold him out? So I think Kelvin Harmon and DK Metcalf are probably first rounders, DK for sure. And then I think maybe Debo gets pushed down a little bit.
Wouldn't blow me away if DK really blows it up in the next couple of days that we're talking about him at 5, 6, 7 overall.
That's right. There could be a top 10 conversation to be had.
Yeah.
Especially at number 4 with Oakland if John Gruden falls in love with him.
Yeah, he's the one guy, the one receiver in this draft that could – because we've talked to some different guys and everybody seems to say, well, there's no true number one guy – consensus number one receiver in this draft. But I think if he comes in here and runs sub 4.5, everybody's going to be going, that's the guy.
That's right.
And you see with the shirt off and lifting and like, wow.
He looks like a defensive end.
Right.
Yeah, he looks like Jadeveon Clowney.
Yeah.
Of those three positions, corner, true off-the-ball linebackers, wide receiver, is it very safe to say that the depth at wide receiver is much better than the other two?
Yeah.
Second, third, fourth round.
Yeah, linebacker's an issue. But that's right. Riley Ridley's the guy, Calvin Ridley's brother out of Georgia. There's low first-round, second-round conversations with him. Their guys.
He seems like a route runner that the Steelers
would like.
He
is a fantastic. Fantastic route runner. I think that's the thing the Steelers have to figure out: who is going to be opposite Juju Smith-Schuster to make his life easier.
Yeah, that's going to be a key for them. And I actually had my mock draft that I did last week. I had Ridley going to the Steelers in the second round. But I think, if they get a second round pick that is higher than their current second round pick in return for Antonio Brown, then I think you see corner or inside linebacker. Then corner, inside linebacker, and then receiver with that second round draft pick.
That's right, and you're exactly right because the receivers class is so deep and the other two positions are not. It makes a lot of sense as how you would do it. A guy that I love from the Senior Bowl too, Andy Isabella, 5'8". I don't know if the Steelers are going to draft him, but he's a slot guy. He might run 4.3 range here. He was a sprint champion in high school, ran faster than the Browns' first-round pick last year. Can't remember his name. The cornerback.
Callaway. Or Denzel Ward.
He outran Denzel Ward in the sprint in high school. So he's a guy to watch. We can watch him run. He can sneak into the third round, I feel like.
Who's your fourth corner?
Let's see.
Starts to get a little hairy then. I mean,
there's some big guys.
Penn State, Temple.
Yeah,
right?
That's right. The big guys sort of struggled. Amani Oruwariye struggled.
I don't want to pronounce it.
Yeah. Lonnie Johnson out of Kentucky is a big guy that teams like. So we'll see how they test. And these guys that are 6'1", 6'2", that give these smaller wide receivers problems could sneak into that conversation as number four.
Big week for those guys for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, great stuff. That is, of course, Ryan Wilson of CBS Sports. You can see his work there. He is Matt Williamson. I'm Dale Lally. We're going to take a break and come back with our live ongoing coverage here from the NFL Scouting Combine in just a moment.
All right, folks. That is a wrap. I think I will be back Tuesday, maybe Monday. I haven't really given that a ton of thought yet, but definitely back Tuesday with our regular – regular team, you know, we'll be talking draft with those dudes on Tuesday. We'll talk to Mark again on Wednesday. We'll talk to Sando on Thursday, who I saw down in Indy, as well as all these people I just chatted with again. So still a little bit of to be determined for my Monday-Friday schedule for next week. But we shall see. Maybe we'll go around the Locked On Network again and start pulling some of the guests from our great network. But that's a wrap. Over and out. Hope you enjoyed these.